If you are offended by comments or jokes that are sexual in nature, or anything else that isn't G-rated, then this will be offensive to you. This is intended only for mature audiences and is not based on anyone or anything real. All comments, names, and information used in the following is done strictly in the spirit of parody and humor. If you are, as mentioned earlier, offended by anything above a G rating, stop listening now. You have been warned.
Recording.
It's working.
Hey. In honor of today's topic, this is Slate Townsend.
And Clamps and Stills.
There we go.
We did it. And we didn't even plan that one either. That's what's so funny. That's the miracle right there. You know, the audience is going to think, well, they really planned. No, we didn't do fucking shit, right?
That's right. Nobody told anybody.
No, we really didn't. That's what's so hysterical. So yeah. I guess because I did not know your pen name until you said it right now.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Hey, it works. What the hell, right?
Yeah. I came up with it this morning as I gave all of 2 seconds to this topic. No.
Yeah, well, I've given more thought to it, but anyway, yeah.
Actually, I think I've given you know, close to 2 years off and on to that topic.
Well, yeah, for the book part, right? I got it.
That's right. Okay, so yeah, today we're going to talk about books, especially bestsellers, right?
Yes, along with some shameless self-promotion, which I think is going to be the real title of this podcast. You know, by the way, we haven't done that. I've had more people, and this is true, who have said, why don't you promote your books on your podcast, right? You mm-hmm. know, and we did, I think long, long time ago, months ago, you did something for my books, right? Really briefly, right? But we never really, you know, never said, you know, who we kind of were, and never did talk about the books themselves and the plots and everything else. So this is really the first time we've done this, right? You know, and we really should be more shameless and self-promote a little more to our three listeners. Possible. To the three listeners out there, right? Yeah, we want you to buy our books, right? So, but anyway, go ahead, lead us in, Bob.
Well, okay. Well, you know, I thought I did. I was leading us right in, and so we're going to talk about bestsellers, and in particular, I think everybody's familiar with the NY, you know, the New York bestsellers list.
Oh, dear God, yeah. Yeah.
It's just so famous for some reason.
Yes.
But, yeah. And, you know, I did a little research on that list, and I think I looked at the top 15.
Okay. And I looked at the top 20 on a different list, but, recommended, right?
Exactly. There's like 100 lists about the top.
Oh, yeah.
Top
yeah.
list for the New York bestsellers list. But so I had this observation. I was looking at it, and I think that it looks like most of the authors that are at the top of the list are women.
Yes.
Which I think is pretty fantastic, but I was going to encourage the men in the audience, the man, but we better step up our game. I mean, we're not well represented.
Well, my opinion to that, and again, this is nothing against, by the way, it's absolutely wonderful that women are leading this area.
Fantastic. 100%. Absolutely.
Okay. This is a little lighter. No. I want to say that I don't know who our listeners are, by the way, neither do you, but I don't really care. I want to just say the fact that there are so many women out there that are leading this area, because I, you know, and also there's women of color and, you know, men of color. And I think it's great and different.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Yes.
And that's great. Okay. That's the positive side of things, right?
Absolutely.
Now, I'm going to give you the negative side. Some of the goddamn titles and review, this stuff is crap. it's you know, almost all of them are about these relationships and this person does this, and I'm like, what the fuck? So sorry about this. These soft relationship books, I just, you know, look, I'm happy for the women. I think it's great, but the goddamn, give me a break, you know.
It's selling. Yeah.
It may be selling, but it's crap. I'm sorry. It's crap. Some of this stuff, it's and that's where the shameless self-promotion is. I just got to be honest with you. You got to buy my books.
Yeah, you can't buy mine yet, but there's hope.
Yeah, but I've got four books out there with one coming, so I'll talk about those in a moment. But yeah, okay, so I'm a little biased, only because people that have read my books have really liked them. I've gotten great reviews on it. But the fact remains, Bob, it's like, dear God, these are top-selling books, right? And I'm like, really? Really? You know, this stuff is just, you know, garbage. Now, there's one Nobel Prize winner in there who I've heard about before. I haven't read his stuff, but I've read a guy's name is Kazuo Ishiguro, and he has apparently done some very good stuff, okay? Mm. So he's in the top 20 or so, but other than that, I'm sorry. I don't have much use for some of these titles and stuff like that. It's, yeah, anyway, sorry. I just got to be honest. I just think this stuff is not, you know, like one of them is like How Beautiful We Were, a novel, right? It's like, give me a fucking break, right? You know, or Sharon Stone, The Beauty of Living Twice. Oh, give me a fucking break. I don't want to know about fucking Sharon Stone. Okay. You know, and then another one, All Girls. Hey,
what more
a novel.
Can you know? You've already seen it all, right?
Oh my God. Right. This close to okay. I mean, it's just too blah 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 blah.
Well, it is very very surety in a sense. And no offense, ladies. It's clearly reflective of what your tastes are these days. Maybe that's
God.
A sad reflection on men.
It that, must, you know, be, right? You know,
that the relationships aren't very good. For some reason.
I don't know, but it's all about this soft stuff, and and then how the one-armed sister sweeps her house. What the fuck? Give me a break, right? God.
Is she married to the one-armed wallpaper hanger?
Yeah, right. some of these just, you know, anyway. Oh. I could go on and on about it. It's like, okay, if you want to read, you know, mystery thrillers and stuff like that, pick up some of my books. They're not bad, trust me. People have told me that I'm a pretty good writer, so.
You are a pretty good writer. I've read Blood Secrets, and it's actually really good.
And the latest one that I have out, if you go on Goodreads and stuff, you'll find, you know, look up Clamps and Stills and stuff. You'll get a review of Pastor's House, which is kind of a horror thriller mystery, and that one I just released on Amazon, so. You can pick that up too. I do mystery, so I'm not really, even though the latest book that I'm writing right now is kind of a dedication for my father, it's not a mystery. I kind of jumped out of my, I wouldn't say comfort zone, but jumped out of it to do something that I've wanted to do for him, right? He's 92 and doesn't have much longer to go, so I thought, well, what the hell? I'll this book I've wanted to write for him, dedicate to him, so.
That's awesome.
I
would love to read that one when it gets published.
It's great. Called, I'll give you a little kibbe. It's called The Winds of Altoona, and it was done in, it's done in the early to mid 1950s. It takes place there in the Columbia River Basin. It's about a Columbia River pilot named Joseph Sebastian Black. Anyway, but yeah, so it's I'm about 3/4 done with it, and my editor, she should be working on it pretty soon. And the book that I just finished about 3 or 4 months ago is in the process of being edited. That's called Tell Her One, and that is kind of a sci-fi book. It's also a little bit out of my area a bit, but it's been already read by some people that before it's gotten published, and they really liked it. It's if you like the Marvel stuff, you definitely would understand what it's about, right? But you know, a little science and stuff is involved, but that's been fun. And the other two are mystery novels that I've wrote. One's called Patterns, and the other one, and of course, Blood Secrets you talked about. And the other one, which is a mystery novel, which takes place, believe it or not, in France, is called Red Swords. And that's my wife really liked that one. And so, yeah. So those are my books, and I've, you know, if you get a chance, whoever our three listeners are, you know, download them or whatever. They're on Kindle, or, you know, get a hard copy. So there you are. Isn't that great?
Awesome.
Now we can beat the shit out of these other books. Oh my God. You know, I'm sorry, dude. I'm my worst critique, by the way. I really do. I critique my own books, and if I don't like something, I basically say, you know, it's not. But when it comes to other people's books, right, when it's touchy-feely like that, it's like, even if it's well-written, right, you know, it's like, I've got a snobbishness about me. I admit it.
Well, I think that's a male perspective too, or you know, a lot of males would feel that way. Yeah. I mean, I think you know, the Hallmark Channel movies, for example. I don't mind watching those because they're kind of goody two shoe, and you know,
they're great.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of cool. But in terms of reading, I'm with you, Ted. I have a hard time. You know, unless it's very, very, even then.
Right. Well, I got to tell you.
Right? I was going to say intimate, but even then, I don't really enjoy reading it.
Right. Well, but here's, I want to say something so people don't get on my case about this. They're like, you're a sexist or something like that. And that couldn't be further from the truth, because some of my favorite authors, in fact, most of my favorite authors are women. And for example, by the way, I love the classics, right? And if you've ever read a book, if you ever read Jane Eyre, you know, one of the Bronte sisters, okay, you know, you'll understand what I mean. Jane Eyre is very well written, right? In contrast, her book, her sister wrote a book called Wuthering Heights. Emily Bronte wrote that, and it's horrible, absolutely horrible, and it's considered one of the great classics, right? But her sister, who wrote Jane Eyre, that book was very well written, and it's about a woman and about relationships and everything, and so is Wuthering Heights, by the way, very much about relationships. But when you read them, they're very, very different styles, and I'm trying to remember Bronte's first name, the one that wrote Jane Eyre, but like I said, just very well written. I do like books that are about relationships, you know, to be perfectly honest with you. But if it's also got to be something that's, you know, it's got to be something that captures your attention. And again, you know, these two books, Wuthering Heights and Jane Eyre, were written in the early 1800s in England. Okay. During some very, very tough times over there, but also, you know, like I said, you know, there's a number of, I mean, let's face it, one of my favorite authors is the lady that wrote the Harry Potter books, right? J.K. Rowling.
That's
absolutely
right.
Love the books, and you know, yep. I want to make a distinction here. So there's really two types of books in my mind, right? There are two types of people who write. There's storytellers, and there's writers, okay? And very seldom do you get the crossover where you get a very good story with that's very well written. Very unusual to see that. I can't even, and I've read, oh God, I don't know how many classics, right? You know, you name it from, Mark Twain to, Hemingway, of course, my opinion, one of the greatest writers that ever was, I can't think of his name right now, that wrote Sanctuary. The very, very seldom do you get both. Rowling is a average writer, in my opinion. And people would go, oh my God, that's not true. No, it is true. She is not a great writer. She writes in a very scriptive fashion, the way she goes from chapter to chapter and keeps you going and gets you involved. But that's storytelling. And that is an art. Believe me, people that are good storytellers
make a lot of money, obviously.
They make a lot of money. And Lee Childs is another one, another modern-day storyteller who's quite good, right? Another man who wrote, he wrote the books Jurassic Park, Michael Crichton.
Michael Crichton, yep.
Good storyteller, not the greatest writer, but then contrast that with the guy that wrote The Hunt for Red October. He's a very poor writer. You read his and you literally critique it, and he is not a good writer. But the story was so good, it overwhelmed his poor writing. Okay? There's people like that.
What do you think of John Grisham?
John Grisham is not a good, he's an average writer. He's not very good. Yeah. I've read a number of his things. He's got some good stories. He's very creative. I want to give him credit for that.
He was number 16 on one of the lists I looked at.
but John Grisham is, I don't know how he became famous, but I've read a number of his things, his books. But, then you go get into the great writers. Tolstoy, a great writer.
Read. War and Peace. I read that book.
It's a very tough read, but it's but wow. It affects you. But it does affect you, Bob. These famous books and the guy that wrote Moby Dick.
Another tough read.
Moby Dick is not that well written. But if you read. It's basically got 70, 80 pages, which is just the book is great. It's like reading D.H. Lawrence. Sons and Lovers are D.H. Lawrence. What's his most famous novel? I'm trying to think. Lady Chatterley's Lover.
That's right.
170 pages of that.
How could we forget?
Is good. The rest of it's crap.
It became a movie too, Ted.
No, I know. Multiple movies probably, But here's the thing, if you read D.H., and I'm just being brutally honest, right? Some of these writers, Thoreau is not a, nonfiction, he's a nonfiction writer, but he's a good writer. He's not great, but he's very deep. One of my favorites Hermann Hesse. It was just, I read almost everything.
Steppenwolf.
Magister Lutyens and the Glass Bead Game. Just some of the books that he wrote were just phenomenal. But my mother, Steinbeck, she absolutely loved Steinbeck. I did not agree with her. I thought Steinbeck was he's a classic writer and he's very good. But I wouldn't put him at the level of Hemingway. I personally think Jack London is about the same level, and that's because I think Jack London is a very good writer with very good stories, but he never achieved that greatness. People think, oh my God, his books were great. His books were very, very good, but they never got to that greatness level. Like I said, there's only a few people that have achieved that, I don't know if you've ever read... Oh geez, just give me a second and I'll remember his name, or the book you'll probably remember is a very, very famous movie. Sorry, my mind's not working right now, but I'll remember in a second. But there's a number of authors that you could just say who are classic writers, who are great writers, but there's only a handful of those. But most of the time, the story, even the story...
I have to say, I think everybody talks about great writers and they're very impressive, but from a pure enjoyment perspective, I'd rather read a good storyteller than a good writer, frankly.
Well, it depends on your mood, right? I think, Bob, I sometimes get in the mood to read certain things.
Is this going to get out of bounds here when you get in the mood?
No. I just so the guy that I was saying who's my favorite. Hold on a second. I think I'm going to sneeze, so we're going to have to halt for just 2 seconds. Oh gosh. Yeah, sorry about this. No, looks like I'm good. William Faulkner.
Oh yeah,
Who wrote Sanctuary? William Faulkner is my favorite writer of all time. Joseph Conrad is the guy I was thinking about, the other guy. A very tough read, God, if I could just, remember the books that Joseph Conrad wrote. Very, very famous. You'll remember him for, what the hell was that book that was so good? He did Heart of Darkness, but that was not the book that I was thinking.
I think of Joseph Conrad. I'm seeing the Iron Cross or something for Conrad.
Well, that, yeah, but the one I was thinking, Lord Jim, sorry, I just remembered it.
Yeah,
Lord Jim, which if you've ever read the book, you'll just go, oh my God, it's just so incredibly well written. And Faulkner and Conrad and London and Hemingway, these are great writers. Okay, let me just be very clear. I would never put, and by the way, one of my favorite science fiction writers or fantasy writers is J.R.R. Tolkien, an incredible writer, okay? But I wouldn't consider him a great writer. He's a great storyteller. Let me just be clear. J.K. Yeah. Rowling is a great storyteller.
The worlds he created.
Yeah, and just absolutely tremendous, right? And so, like I said, there's nothing wrong with a person like, who's the guy that's so damn famous that is made, oh my God, it's probably close to $1 billion now in Stephen King.
Stephen King.
What a creative storyteller. Just an incredible man. But would I consider him as good as Edgar Allan Poe, who wrote similar genres? No, I'm yeah. sorry. He is not Edgar Allan Poe. Is he a good writer? Yes. Is he great? No. Okay? So, and this is why when I get to these later, modern time writers like these New York bestsellers, they write mostly in the time and space so people can enjoy them, right? And they're mostly storytellers. But I don't consider them great writers. Very, very few. I'll tell you an example. A person gave me a book called The Shack, okay? And it's kind of a religious story. But he said, yep. It's one of the greatest books ever written. I read it. It was not well written. It was an interesting story, but it wasn't well written, right?
Right.
But yeah, so I'm not being, people say, you're being snobbish. No, I'm not. I'm just being brutally honest. I am a writer, but I took many, many classes when I was in college, when I was young, and English writing and old lit and modern lit and ancient lit and went through it and became pretty knowledgeable about writing styles and writers in general. And when you start looking at things from a critical perspective, then you kind of understand what a good writer is and not so good, right?
Yeah, you know the we haven't touched on science fiction yet.
And I think one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's clearly for being the techno people that we are. Clearly, you know, science fiction is something that we would be attracted to. But it's absolutely stunning how accurate, you know, a lot of the writers have been in terms of predicting the future or predicting technology when you think about it.
Oh, yeah. Who's the guy that did 2001 and 2010?
It was just under my time.
Yeah, really. He's not bad, but, you know, he's not...
Robert Heinlein, for example.
By the way, the guy that wrote The Hunt for October is Tom Clancy. And yes. I've read probably four or five books of his. He is not a good writer. I'm just going to tell you that.
No, but he's fun to read. He's fun to read, right?
No, his stories are good, but he is not, you know, another guy that you need to read that's basically a generation, two or three generations before that, but absolutely phenomenal, is James Clavell.
James Clavell.
Yeah, read Taipan or Shogun.
Mm-hmm. I read Taipan.
Yeah, just an incredible, and you know, his books are basically doorstops.
Michener, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Michener is Herman Wouk is in that in that range. You know, just really good writers. Not great, but they wrote in a different genre. They wrote a different style. Very, very good. My mother made me grow up on the classics. That was one of the great gifts that she gave me. Really got me started when I was young, and I became just absolutely love it. And the funny thing is, I started out reading books by who was the guy that did the movie The Birds? Alfred Hitchcock.
Hitchcock.
I read more of his stuff, and as I got older, I realized he was a crappy writer. But you know, when you're young, you're 10 or 11 years old, which is when I was reading him. I loved his stuff. Absolutely loved it. You know, and I'm
just
pretty
a brilliant
sure that
man
he,
overall, right?
He yeah. really was. He really was. But you know, I wouldn't. These people, you can't. You know, they're not the Steinbecks. They're not the Hemingways, right? They're not. Nathaniel Hawthorne, right? Herman Melville was the guy I was thinking about that wrote Moby Dick and
The English, right?
Yeah, but one of the greatest beginnings of it, you know, Call Me Ishmael,
yep.
right, is how he starts out the book. I mean, it's one of the greatest starts. And then it goes downhill from there for about 400 pages. You know, it's just very boring, right? You know?
Yeah,
and by the way, I took classes in literature, by the way, and one of the things that was fascinating was if you go back to the times and how the people critiqued books at that time. Taipei, which he wrote, I think either before or after, I don't remember, after Moby Dick. Moby Dick was ripped apart as a poorly written book at the times. It only became famous, you know, posthumously 40 to 80 years later, right, after he had died.
Yeah.
Right? It was, which is why, you know, it's kind of funny, Wuthering Heights, the same thing. Wuthering Heights is a horribly written book by Emily Bronte, but it became famous later on, right? And they've made movie after movie of that, and of course they don't even follow the plot of the book at all. It's really hysterical.
What movie does?
Yeah, but this one's really bad.
There's one. The Tolkien movies, actually, the last version of that actually did follow the books pretty well.
They do pretty well.
They did. But, they did good.
Yeah. Now, by the way, I don't know if you've ever read H.P. Lovecraft. The Cthulhu mythos or anything like that.
I have not. And I've heard a lot about his writing.
H.P. Lovecraft was a true genius. He didn't live very long. He had illness. Very strange man. But a true genius, right? Yeah. But he wrote a different genre, so he didn't become as famous for that, right? Some people crossed over. For example, Stephen King has crossed over many times, right? And he's written some very, very good books that have, you know, a lot of them turn into, that's why he's so rich, they turn into movies. But let's face it, he's a very creative man, right? And a very good storyteller. And Stephen King,
least, right? High school teacher.
But I also don't like the fact that people talk, Stephen King, you know, he's just, I got news for you. Stephen King's very good. He should be up there. He's not up there in terms of the classic writers, but he's quite good.
Oh, but, you know, like The Shining, I think is the shining example for me. It was a book that was big. But.
Well, the Shawshank Redemption, one of the greatest movies and stories ever told. Yeah. An incredible story. I mean, come on, man.
Zihuatanejo.
Yeah. Yep. It's just beautifully done. And yep. And I give him a tremendous amount of credit. Now, you know, when you talk about science fiction, right, and authors like that, you know, you have to go back to the 1920s and 30s, and like you said, some of their predictions, you know. Who was the guy that wrote, the movie was on that not that long ago, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Jules Verne.
Talk about an incredible writer, right? Mm-hmm. Really good, right? Should get tremendous credit. And you know, not just for his creativeness, but for just being a good writer, right? Some of these science fiction writers don't get the credit they deserve, right? I don't know if you've ever read Roger Zelazny.
No, I have not.
Just a very fun read, right? I actually was at a conference when I was very young and got a chance to meet two science fiction writers who weren't worth a shit, in my opinion. Kurt Vonnegut Jr. And the guy who wrote Fahrenheit 451. These, I got news for you, very famous men who did not deserve to be famous, right? Ray Bradbury, right? People go, great. I'm sorry.
The Illustrated Man book
is not that good. It's not that good.
I know. You're right. Okay. Because outside of the Lion Room and the opening, the opening sequence was phenomenal, though. You got to admit that.
Yeah, it is. But I'm sorry. The Ray Bradbury and Kurt Vonnegut Jr., if you've really read, neither one of them are worth a shit. I'm sorry. But they became famous.
They became very famous. You know, War of the Worlds. Yeah, you know.
There's a lot
Isaac
of authors
Asimov.
Out.
What do you think of Isaac Asimov? Have you read him?
Isaac Asimov is an interesting. He wrote two interesting books. The Guide, by the way, which are interesting in themselves. Another gentleman that wrote called The Occult. Well, you've got to read it. It's called Colin Wilson, The Occult. It's in a fantastic book. He's another one of those science fiction writers. But, Isaac Asimov has written a number of things, and I'm trying to remember some of the things I've read of
his. The Foundation series is his big.
Yeah, but there is something else that I've read of his, and he's actually quite good.
They're finally making a movie of The Foundation. You know that they're gonna.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, it's coming. Yep.
Yeah. Finally. But I'm. But there's a number of like I said.
Right. The mathematician.
Yeah. Yeah, but like I said, I could go on and on about some of these authors. But, you know, we all have our own styles and everything. And I understand, you know, like Roger Zelazny, he was funny. He wrote science fiction, but he wrote it in a, he had a sense of humor. And he's fun to read because he's just funny as hell. His stories are just ridiculous sometimes, but some can get really good. Like he wrote a book called The Jack of Shadows, which is a very, very well-written science fiction book. Not very famous, but when you read it, you go, wow, this is really well done. You really get into his, you know, his world that he creates. The guy that wrote Dune, Frank Herbert, the first Dune book, very good. Okay.
Oh, fantastic.
After that, it stunk. It just went downhill, right?
Well, when he was writing them, it was really good. But then, you know, that whole franchise has just taken off with the family.
It should never have got, you know. And then we could go to some, you know, Interview with a Vampire, who's Anne Rice.
Movie. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Absolutely beautifully written. I turned my wife onto that. I said, you've got to read this book. It's just so well written, you know. There's some really, really good, but you've got to stay within your range. I used to write a certain way, and I'm going to get back into a book that I read when I was a kid, who, you know, which you would remember from high school, The Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
Very well written. I forgot the author, but just very well written. They made movies of it and everything. A tremendous book, right? But it was a one-off. You know, there, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, another very well-written book, but a one-off, right? You get, but these people aren't very fit because they only wrote one book, right? Catcher in the Rye, yeah. I mean, just...
But Steinbeck, Of Mice and Men, he was pretty damn good.
He was good. My mother and I would argue about him. I became very...
Sometimes
I was like,
a great notion. God, these are like so deep.
Well, Of Mice and Men is an very good story, okay? And Steinbeck's one of the greatest. But I still can't put him up at Faulkner's level or even Conrad. I mean, people say, why? And I say, well, when you read a story, and people think, well, that's subjective. And I think, no, it's really not. When you read a story that's done by a great writer, one thing you know about that story, okay, that you know it's great, is when you are done with it, you are physically and emotionally changed. You are not the same person after you read the story. Tolstoy has that effect on people. Faulkner has that effect on people. I can't argue that at this point that Steinbeck quite has that effect. Hemingway does have that effect on people. Jack London, not quite there, right? But very close, right? Tolstoy, definitely, right? Like I said, you're just changed. The book just changes you, right? You know, whereas a story, you feel, oh, I feel really good after the story, right? But you're not changed. You just feel like you've read a good story and it's really great. You may have cried, you may have laughed, whatever, but it's a great story, but it doesn't mean it's a great write. It's a very big difference, very, very big difference between the two.
So speaking of being changed by stories, Flowers for Algernon?
Yes, I was changed after that, reading that.
I was like a sobbing
mess. I absolutely
was.
That's a great write. Oh. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Lord of the Flies, I will put that in the same category.
Yeah.
Clear. I was changed after I read that, right? Yeah. Like I said, Lord Jim changed me. Sanctuary changed me. I got to admit it. I mean, I read that book and I was like, I am not the same person after I read it. And, you know, but after I read The Hunt for Red October, I was like, eh. You know, it's like, this guy, it's like, so I can't, Tom Clancy isn't even, you know, he can't even write, he can tell a story okay, but he's average to poor. I mean, you literally sentence structure everything. You just, you know, and that's why it's fascinating to me when you see people who are really famous and you read their stuff and you go, oh my God, how did this person become famous? Which is why I bring up the top 20 now, right? A lot of these people that are famous, I'm sorry, I don't see it. I just don't see it. And maybe I'm a snob. But by the way, I don't put myself in any category on the people I talked about. I'm not even close, especially since the way I write is more of a storytelling on most of my books, except for the latest one I'm doing, which is more of a write. But... you know, so obviously I'm not even going to talk about me, but I'm just saying from a critique perspective, that's how I look at it.
Hmm. I agree with you. I think your perspective is pretty good there, Ted. Don't doubt.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
Yep. But I think your books are pretty good.
Call me Clamson.
Clamson Stills.
Call me Clamson, man.
Yeah.
Can we talk about you for 20 minutes or so? Because we've been talking about a bunch of shit. So I want to say something about Bob for the audience.
Well, we can. Please. We can. But you can, absolutely. But you know, we're just about done here, right? We're about out of time. And I don't really have anything published that you can go find today. So
no, we don't. But I want to kibitz for everybody. Bob is writing a book. That is, I've read a number of his pages, and it's going to be a good... So whoever his pen name is, which we'll announce again later, you definitely need... our three listeners should pick it up. So, but pick up mine now while you're at it, because it's on Amazon, and I even dropped the prices for everybody, so don't worry.
Oh, it's even, on sale. Can't
it's even
it.
Cheaper. Yeah, no, I did, because it was funny, because I said, you know, I was talking to my editor, and I said, you know, I don't need, you know, I don't need, so I'm not bright. I don't need the money. So I said, I'm going to drop the prices so people can go buy it. If you do Kindle Unlimited, apparently it's free. I made it free for those who can just download it for free. So if you got that, you can get it for free. So there you go.
Okay, so I think we're at that mark. So final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Just remember there's good writers and there's good storytellers, you know, but I'll caution you. I've never read a book or by anybody that was a great story and a great write. You just don't get, and trust me, I've never seen both. Right. I've seen one or the other, and I've seen them get close, but I've never seen both, ever. So that's just my opinion for what it's worth. But anyway.
Okay. Well, that's a nice way to end this episode. Clamps and Stills. Which
yes.
Which brings me to my final thought. So, you know, so I think I threw a name out there. But, you know, I got to thinking about my pen name because I don't want to publish under my own name.
Dipshit? No.
So I'm sitting down
thinking.
Sorry,
Bob. You left yourself open. I apologize. I am so sorry.
I am so sorry.
Dip? Shit. No, I'm sorry. Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. I'm ignoring it.
Yeah, Bob. Everybody, Bob's going to get me back for that. I know he will.
Axelrod, yeah. So
Axelrod.
So I thought, me off my mind. That, you know, there's
me off my mind.
And I thought, forethink, hing.
Yeah, that's okay. When I was thinking of my first pen name, I was thinking, you know, I was thinking of fuck and off. Yeah. You know, it might sound,
kid,
it might sound,
the,
you know,
bowling alley.
From a different country.
Yeah.
Fook off.
Fook off. Well,
yeah.
When I was a kid, we used to go to the bowling alley, and back in those days, you know, it's like you called the bowling alley looking for your husband, and then or your dad or your parent, right? And then they page over the loud system, right? So we would have the, you know, Bobby Pin, right? We would do all these. We would do all these names, right?
Oh yeah.
And Jack, of course, was very popular.
I'll never forget when you were a kid. You do those fake calls where you say, "I'm looking for Jack." Jack who? Me off.
That's right.
What Jack me off? And then you'd hang up, right? That's like.
I know.
Oh, this has gotten.
Every once in a while, you get somebody.
This really went to the toilet, didn't it?
Yeah, you would get. Somebody at the bowling alley, it would be like a newbie, and they'd be sitting there, and they'd be going, really?
Yes, can you,
it's Jack.
I think he's in lane 12. This is, can you call for Jack? Yes, I'm looking for Jack. What's the last name? Me off. Yes.
Yep.
Jack, me off.
That's right. Is your refrigerator running?
Pencil? Last name, please, Dick. Pencil Dick. We're looking for Pencil Dick. Jesus. Oh, God. I can't. This took a bad turn suddenly.
Oh, I know. Okay. Well, and on that note, Ted.
We got to shut this off.
We're done.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.